LaRue. We have Truck Fighters. And if we have time, we have some Johnny Cash. So stay tuned to listen to all that. We have some of our regular guests coming in. We have the president of Minnetonka Park Association, Celia. We have also a special interview with Mr. Sapa, a world-renowned architect who built the Lotus Temple in New Delhi, India. And also we have my brother Shkwait Shakhlakh from Gwaishkina, BC, a very special individual, extreme survivalist. So we also have Lady Faima coming in, and she's the production manager of Eagle Nation Universal Production Society. And all those things coming up for you. We welcome you from all over the world, from England, from Germany, from Spain, from Greece, from Italy, from Egypt, from Africa, from South America, from India, from Russia, from Ukraine, China, from North America, all across the United States and Canada. We welcome you all on our odyssey of positivity, human growth, empowerment for human rights and justice. And we just thank you all for joining us. And we're going to start off our program with some energetic music from Young Blood Super Cult from their album High Plains. And their song is called Nomad. So we welcome you all, and we enjoy.
Sound
Wow, some deep lyrics in song, man. That was Youngblood Super Cult and their song Nomad. They're one of their albums called High Plains, man. Pretty powerful. A big shout out to my niece. It's her birthday coming up soon. So, birthday, Sensei Lily.
Nice.
Yeah. So, we're going to start off our program right. And, welcome to our program, Celia.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, everybody. All listeners and radio station people.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to start off our program the way we usually do it. We're going to do some deep breaths the way our brother Wegedesk taught us. He's going to be making it in next week, hopefully. And so we're going to imagine inhaling three times. We're going to inhale all the positive words and energy that we can. Just imagine that coming into our lungs, into our brains, hearts, minds, and getting us all ready and jacked for our awesome subject. And also, as we exhale, we're going to imagine getting rid of all the negative energy that builds up in us throughout the week and throughout the days. And so we're going to do this on the count of three. So 3, 2, 1. Last one. Man, it always feels so awesome getting that oxygen into our blood system and getting us ready for our subject.
And, all fired up.
Yeah, so we have our subject, and it's on compassion. And we'd love to hear from you, Celia. What do you have on compassion?
Yeah, that's a deep subject. So many ways we can go with this. The big thing that came up when I was thinking about it, reflecting on it, is it's to grow it deeper. It starts with awareness, you know, our own awareness, noticing what's going on for us and others, nature, the world, animals. So it kind of extends from there. And part of it, that awareness comes through some kind of reflection, you know, that if we don't give ourselves a chance to reflect at some point, we live in a very distraction-based world easily enough. And noticing the body, like noticing what goes on in our body with different relationships that as we're interacting with people, and that breath really helps too. You know, when we were doing our deep breaths, helps us settle into our body more and that type of thing, and listening deeply to others and self. That's a starting point, but there's so much to talk about here. What about you?
For me, I was thinking along the lines of what I saw from Counselor Fari, because she was just full of compassion. And it was very inspiring and very powerful. I remember the words that she used, and this is what I heard down in North Dakota, and how it just changed the people down there and gave a lot of hope and transformed them into a lot of positivity just by her simple words of, "I love you." Those were the only words at that point that she knew, because she was very new to the, you know, this land, and that was all she could do to show her compassion, was just to say, "I love you." And she done it with such compassion that, you know, everybody knew and everybody felt it.
They felt her heart.
Yes, absolutely. Right. And that's what I strive to be. That's what I wish I could be, but I was on the opposite spectrum. I'm still learning. I'm still trying. And I really point towards this program. It's helping me, as well as many other people out there, too. And just a special time. And, I just really look forward to it every week. And I got to give out to Magnus and Jesse and Carnivar and Juju and Mo and all our volunteers out there that help keep this station going. You know, they show this, and it's compassion. And it's
many hearts and hands behind the scenes.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got a lot to be thankful, and I am for sure. I'm very grateful for all of them and all their efforts. So a big shout out to them. And what about you, Kanwar?
Compassion is it's a deep thing, because it needs to come from a place of selflessness. It needs to come from something bigger than yourself. You need to, for me, one of the things that has helped me the most is being compassionate to those who may have wronged you. And, you know, certain experiences in your life make you feel that there may be people who might not deserve compassion, but that's not how it works. It needs to be applied the same way with love. It needs to be open and receptive to the fact that someone who may have wronged you in the past still deserves compassion no matter what. And that's very difficult to do, especially if you've had any kind of trauma in your life or any kind of adverse experiences. To be able to mature and grow and become an adult that has compassion is a very healthy thing.
Beautiful. That's so powerful and wonderful.
Love it.
It's a skill that we all got to work on and hone and get perfection before it's very noticeable and effective.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we're going to carry on with our program, and we have a song pick for our next segment, which is Talking with Achievers, and it's going to be with Mr. Sapa. It's the second part of the interview we had with him. He's a world-renowned architect, you know, that built the Lotus Temple in New Delhi, India. So we have a song, and it's one of your picks, and who is she?
This is an artist. She's from Baltimore, but she has a North Indian background, Punjabi background. Delhi is kind of to the east of the northern part of India, so it's in the same kind of cultural sphere, although the Lotus Temple is a Baha'i house of worship. This artist sings in both Punjabi and English, and she has a beautiful way of mixing traditional classical Indian instruments with new electronic sensibilities, and this album in November of 2022, and the track we're going to listen to is Unstruck Sound,
and her name is Amy Dane.
AMIDANG.
Awesome. So stay tuned and listen and enjoy, everyone. We'll be right back. Thank you. right, and here's the interview.
So when I went to India, I visited from north to south of India. Even I went to Sri Lanka, in south of India, and areas, and visited so many temples and buildings, looking for a concept that is unique, but at the same time, it is accepted, it is respected by all the people. Because if this teaching of the Baha'i Faith, of Baha'u'llah, is correct, then there's something that symbolizes that unity, that we are all children of one God, we are all flowers of one garden, and really fruits of one tree. So if that is the case, it should be represented in symbols. So when I traveled everywhere, I found that lotus flower, that in fact is the flower of India. It's a sign, the symbol of really a manifestation of God for Hindus. Hindus, they believe creator of the heaven and earth, was born in a lotus flower. Their famous prayer, Om Mani Padme Om, Om Ye Jewel in the Lotus. This is a prayer of the Buddhist of Tibet, that they believe lotus is the symbol of manifestation of God, because lotus grows in polluted atmosphere, polluted water, dirty water, but stays pure and beautiful above the mud, above the dirt. It doesn't become dirty by its atmosphere. So this is the reason that always they show the statue of the Buddha. Zoroastrian, they show pictures of Mitra dancing on a lotus flower. Buddha is always sitting on a throne of a lotus. And God and God's Hinduism, they have a lotus in their hand as a symbol of spirituality, purity, perfection. And I thought that Hindus, they believe they have always dreamed of a temple that is of lotus. And they have, the same thing has been for the Buddhists. The same thing has been, Professor Jung has studied lots of symbolism of the churches, and he comes to the point that the churches, based on mother symbol of all the religions, which is mandala, and the lotus is the most beautiful mandala. The same thing is in Islam. The dome of Taj Mahal, that is a mausoleum, really a bud of a lotus. So then I thought that if I choose this as a symbol for the building, it will look familiar, like you have had a dream of a building all of your life in that shape, and now you see it in real life. Then the creation of such a design, this building is now considered one of the most complex structures of the world, the largest shell structure of the world. It has so it's modern, it's based on latest really concrete technology, but it has been built with the most traditional and by the most ordinary laborers, Indian laborers, because I wanted to use everything local as much as I can. Other than some materials of the building, that like white cement that was not available in India, and white marble. Other than that, everything is really Indian. All of the technology Indian, and it was built in that way. It took about 6 years. We built the building, and the total design, then the earthwork and others together with the building complete from beginning of the design to end of completion, it was 10 years. In that 10 years, I moved to India, I lived there, I lived with those labors and work. And, you know, in Baha'i faith, there is a teaching that it's very important. It says that there is a jewel in every human being, not only human being, every creature, there is a jewel in that creature, whether animal, human, nature, plants, there is some special gift in that person. And it is our duty, it is the duty of artists, it is the duty of a good person to find that jewel in other people and show it to them. Let them grow to their perfection, let them grow in what is the potential that they are worthy. And this is what I followed, and I believe that I found that this jewel is this in Indian subcontinent. It is this lotus. Everybody had seen it. It's at the back of every truck in India, by the way. I mean, in Delhi you go, in everywhere you go, it's sign of the on the flag of the governing party of India right now, that is known as Bharatiya Janata Party. The symbol of this party is lotus flower. It's everywhere. But nobody had looked at it as in a building like this. Now that it is built, it has really, and then it's finished. It was finished. It attracted so many people. Dharma himself requested, and he came for several prayer events as he came to temple and paid such a wonderful respect. The representative of Vatican visited the temple. The leaders of the Jain sect of Hinduism, the Hindu and the leaders of Hindu, leaders of Sikh religion, several millions of Muslims have visited this building, and this is now the only place in India where you can sit and listen to the holy writings of Hindu, writings of Zoroastrian, the holy writings of Christianity, and the holy writings of the Muslims, Quran, Bible. There is no lecture allowed in the Baha'i Temple, and there is no priest in the Baha'i Temple. It's between man and God.
Such a beautiful, wonderful story. What an inspiration. It's such a blessing to humanity to have achievers like yourself to transcend us into higher levels of spirituality, unity. It's just a wonderful thing that you were able to produce in your architecture. We really appreciate you joining us and spending your time and explaining the Lotus of New Delhi. It's just a real privilege and an honor. And so we thank you, and we're looking forward to hearing from you again on other parts of your accomplishments. So just lots of blessings to you, lots of love to you. We wish you a great week and weekend, and thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. You are so kind, and my best wishes for all of your listeners.
Thank you for now.
Bye-bye.
Okay, and we'll be right back. Oh, sorry about that. Welcome back to the program. And that was the wonderful words of Mr. Sapa, the world-renowned famous architect that built the Lotus Temple in New Delhi, India. And so we're going to carry on with our program, and we're going to get to the song of the week of Shkwait Shakhlakh, and have a listen to his song from LaRue, and it's called Bulletproof. So listen and enjoy, everyone.